This is the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.
Hi, this is Ray Hanania, and I'm on the line with Columbia College professor Ayman Shahada. Ayman, welcome to the program on our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome. Tell me about this latest incident involving Columbia College. It's always troubling to hear these things, and it's so important to get the public to understand what's going on so that they can get involved in defending you and standing up for what's right, and because this sounds like an issue of not just free speech, but your right as a professor to correctly and properly teach students what they need to know about the Middle East.
Sure. Well, I've been teaching at Columbia College for almost 7 years now, and I've primarily have taught Middle Eastern history courses. 3 years ago, I designed a course that is specifically related to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and so I designed it, put it together. It took the college over a year to get it approved. Finally got it approved. Originally, it was a pilot course, and so they were sort of trying it out and seeing if there was student interest and so forth, because the idea is retention and maintenance of classes and so forth. So we started off with one pilot course, and then a couple of semesters later, we went up to three sections of the course, which will tell you that there was a lot of demand for this class.
Sounds like it was popular.
It's a very popular course. We've had quite a bit of success with it. Now, around that course, what I also do is I advise for Students for Justice in Palestine and Jewish Votes for Peace. In fact, we combine both of them, and it's the one of the first, if not the first, in the country that has an SJP and JVP this organization. And so, in addition to the class, students have had an opportunity to be around additional information relating to this issue. And so, it's been a very positive development on campus the last few years. Now, as you know, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is not without controversy in terms of...
You're joking, right? I thought nobody cared about it. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, I mean, you're right. We hear so much about the Arab-Israeli conflict, but it is important. It's in our face every day, and understanding it is important. And not just understanding, but in terms of journalism, I mean, you're teaching at Columbia College. It's probably one of the toughest topics to help journalists understand how to navigate.
Well, there is no doubt about that, especially since there's oftentimes information that is presented that is not accurate. And so this particular course here is an opportunity for students to really learn about this issue and have a chance to come away with it very knowledgeable, and that's exactly what happens. And of course, in addition to that, you have these two organizations that are on campus. And so the class, the majority of students love the class, and the faculty or the student evaluations, my student evaluations, are excellent. In fact, they're typically higher than the colleges. In fact, this is a liberal arts course, and if you're a film student, for example, you're more likely to rate my class higher than you would rate a class that you're taking for your major. And so it's very popular, very, very solid. There have been other students throughout the years who have complained of these allegations of bias. And so an example of that would be some of the language that is used. The term, I've had complaints about the term occupied territory.
Right.
Some people prefer the term disputed territories.
But that's also an important class lesson, isn't it? I mean, helping people who want to become journalists understand, you know, you can't understand these issues unless you address them and you hear them. And it sounds like you offer these up, you discuss them, you help people understand them. Correct?
Well, absolutely, and we also want to keep in mind as well is that these terms are used by the United Nations and the international community to describe these territories as occupied rather than disputed.
Right.
So another example would be I have an assignment at the end of the semester where students have to pick a one-state or a two-state solution to solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and the stipulation is that you cannot ethnically cleanse people. You can't remove them from their homes. So the conflict has to be solved within the context of no human catastrophe. on either side or any side. I've had a student complain about that and say, well, this land is exclusive to a group of people. And so I've been called into administration for that assignment to explain myself.
Well, now, and that's what I want. Oh, go ahead. That's what I wanted to get into, this most recent complaint. Sure. Against you. How did that originate? Because, listen, I've obviously, a lot of people listening to this have gone to college. And in colleges, there's always contentious arguments. I've been in classes, but those debates and discussions always kind of help educate people and result in better understanding. What happened in this case to single you out?
Well, since the coming out of a movie called Five Broken Cameras, which, as you know, is an Academy Award nominated film that deals. It's an opportunity for students to gather a frame of reference about the occupation. It's a wonderful film. It's been a great addition to the course content. And so what it does is it brings a lot of the things that we talk about in class to life. I showed the movie, the latest, in October of 2013, and a student went and told the chair of the department that I was biased for showing the film.
Now, was this a student in your class, or had the student come up to you and complained? I mean, what happened with this? Do you even know who the student is?
Well, I don't know who the student is. That was never pointed out to me. The student was in my class, according to my understanding from what the chair had said. But the student was in my class. I showed the film, and the student went to the chair and the dean. I think they sent them some sort of email or some form of communication where the student said that I was biased for showing the film. Now,
biased on whose side, by the way? Because there would be people that would say, and those people who are familiar with Five Broken Cameras, nominated for an Oscar, there's controversy on both sides. Pro-Israeli, pro-Arab people have criticized it, and pro-Israeli and pro-Arab people have praised it. I mean, I'm assuming that the bias came from somebody who may not like the fact that you're Palestinian, and I'm assuming you're Palestinian, but...
You're assuming correctly, Rick.
Is that your assumption, that it was maybe it was more directed at you than the class, or...
Well, it was directed at me, because what the allegation was is that I was biased for showing the film.
Wow.
So I was called into the chair's office, and by that point I had already received my assignments for the following semester, which was two sections of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which I've been consistently teaching. I'm the only person that's ever taught that class at Columbia, because I designed and put the course together.
And you've been doing it 3 years consistently.
Yes, I've been doing it for 3 years. I've taught over a dozen sections of it. And so I was called into the office, and I sat down with the chair of the HHSS department, Steve Corey. And what he did was he counseled me on balance as far as presentation of the information. And when I asked him why the student didn't come to me, why didn't he ask the student to come to me, he said that when he was in college, that there was an African-American professor who seemed to have anger specifically at white students. And I immediately pointed out to him that my class is open for discussion and for discourse, and that I do not have any differentiation between individuals based on their particular backgrounds.
That would have upset me to have somebody say to me, Ray, comparing me to what happened to African Americans, making it sound like somehow I'm discriminating against somebody that I don't know if there is even that kind of comparison. It's like the U.S. classroom versus a classroom in South Africa. Or in the 1950s. Right. How did you take that? Were you upset or?
I immediately pointed out to him that, look, again, I treat my students equally. We have discussion and we go back and forth, and I don't play that sort of card with my students to have any particular dislike or some sort of agenda towards a student if they have a particular perspective or a background or what have you. in any case, in addition to that, he also said that he wanted my qualifications. Now chairs can ask their instructors for their qualifications or an updated resume and so forth. But in the context of the meeting itself and getting called down to the office,
yeah,
that was alarming as well. So I left the meeting, and a few days later, on the day of registration, and in fact, the course had been on registration. It was on a platform called Oasis, where it allows students to register. Within 2 hours, it was cut. And so they eliminated one of the sections of the class. We've grieved to the college. There's a grievance process where we have a union on college where you can go and you can state your position. First grievance failed. The second grievance failed as well. What I've discovered as a result of being in this situation is that Columbia College has had a history,
yes,
of hiring people who have had an anti-Palestinian bias. And in fact, Luis Love, who is the current interim provost of Columbia College, was an associate provost at Roosevelt University 6 years ago, when a professor Giles was fired because he was allowing students to discuss Zionism, the Palestinian issue, and so forth. His chair, a professor Wenninger, fired him because she felt that he was straying from the norm. And in fact, what she did was she referred to Palestinians as animals.
Well, now that would upset me, and I mean, I would want her fired. We're not talking about something that happened in South Africa. This didn't happen in some banana republic or Russia. We're talking about, and I've known you for a long time, you come across very well-mannered. Even, you know, a lot of people would be very angry and yelling and screaming. You're looking at it very rationally. I would look at you and say, wow, this guy's very professional. It seems like you're going out of your way to allow people, you know, to express themselves. And at the same time, we're in America, where I thought we're allowed to talk about different issues. I mean, isn't that what a classroom is for? Not some, you know, propaganda thing where they kind of brainwash and say, this is all we teach and don't veer. It seems shocking to me. I mean, is it shocking to you? And
well, absolutely. I mean, the irony of this whole situation is that Luis Love was the assistant provost at that time. And when the issue came up of why this chair, Professor Wenninger, had referred to Palestinians as animals and people that don't have a side, Luis Love said that this chair was simply defending her position, and I quote, passionately. And so here you have someone defending this type of racism. And can one imagine if someone said that or defended a position of someone that said that about African Americans,
right,
or Jews or any other minority?
But you're not
this person would later become the chair of my of my college. He would become the interim provost of the college that I teach for now. And so this anti-Palestinian bias is definitely in existence at Columbia College. In fact, it's at the top.
And to be honest, I've been very familiar with Columbia. I had worked there, and I, you know, years ago, more than 10 years ago, I think, doing some web design. And some of the people I worked with were great. They loved me. And then some of the people hated the fact that I was Palestinian, because a lot of people who don't like me or you or others, they don't distinguish between your opinion and my opinion. We may agree or disagree on, you know, Middle East, as you know, that happens in our community, but they don't see it. They just see the fact that we both look the same. We're both Arab. They don't like us, and they assume we're bad, and they wanted me gone. And then a few years later, there was a teacher who happened to be Palestinian, and it was an anonymous complaint again that was brought against her, and she was literally fired from her position at Columbia. And the difficult thing was, it was very hard to get people to stand up and say that this woman, who really wasn't very active in the Palestinian or Arab cause, she was just addressing the topic the way a journalist would. She was a very successful former professional radio producer and journalist. It's just a terrible thing. It's very discouraging to hear that, you know, 2014 and we're still facing this kind of thing. It's horrible. I don't know how you can maintain your composure. I admire you for doing that. I think it's so important. But I would be very upset. And I'm sure you are, but you're doing a good job in trying to address this the right way.
Well, the idea is to hopefully positive things can come out of this for everyone, especially Columbia College, because ultimately it's about the students and it's about student learning. And so perhaps some good things can come out of this. And one of those things is that the issue of Palestine and the discussion of the reality on the ground in the country should not be an exception to the rule of academic freedom.
Right.
And right now Columbia has been saying that with the cancellation of my class and with the history that has been at Columbia in relation to Palestinians and Arab Americans who've worked there.
Yeah, give us just to kind of summarize what's the status right now. What I'm understanding again, and I just want to make sure I'm clear. And for those listening, I'm talking with Ayman Shahada. He's a Columbia College professor. Recently was targeted, I guess, by a student, an anonymous student, who said that he was biased, and the college came down and truncated a class that you're teaching by removing some segments. Is that correct? And are you still teaching the remaining segment of your course?
Yes. There's one remaining section that I'm currently teaching at this point.
So that's continuing, and hopefully that will. What's the status of the other one? I saw a letter that came from the provost. It sounded like she was saying that we support, diversity, blah, 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 but it didn't sound like she was going to do anything.
Well, the problem with that letter, Ray, is that it doesn't address the issue. And what I gathered was that she likes Five Broken Cameras. This is what she's saying, that she likes the movie. And it's wonderful that she likes the movie.
She just wishes that they'd use some other reason to go after you, probably.
Well, but the issue in the actual issue itself was never addressed. Is
right.
what the college did in response to this allegation of bias by the student, which was to violate my academic freedom and then get rid of my class. Now, the American Association of University Professors, the AAUP, has come out and they have completed an investigation, and they've concluded that yes, Columbia College did violate my academic freedom. And so at this point, you have an outside agency coming in and investigating
and
coming to that
one
conclusion.
They're an independent agency, not Arab. They're not Palestinian. They're independent.
They are independent. Thank you for pointing that out. Absolutely, they're independent, and they have concluded that yes, Columbia has violated my academic freedom. And so the hope is that Columbia College can come out and rectify this situation and acknowledge it and ensure that there are mechanisms put in place that will alter their reputation for their anti-Palestinian bias.
Yeah, Ayman, listen, I sympathize with you. If there's any, it just seems wrong, and I appreciate the fact that you're able to spend some time with me to help me and listeners to this podcast and maybe readers at the Arab Daily News to understand what's going on. We're going to continue to follow this, and hopefully it'll be resolved properly and fairly. So that you can continue to do what, any professor would want to do, to engage students, to get them not to be afraid to address, controversial issues, and, allow them to kind of explore these things, because I think in the end it benefits the students. What doesn't benefit the students is when they come down on a professor and, it makes no sense, because I agree with you, Five Broken Cameras is one of a good components of a good class to get people to understand what's happening over there.
Thank you, Ray. And hopefully more people can sign the petition and come on board. There's a petition at change.org which they can go to and sign. And the petition's growing. We have over 6,000 signatories. Many are students and professors people from all walks of life around the country and around the world, in fact, who have come out and said that that they support this cause, because it is a good one. And in the end, the idea is that, again, Palestine and the discussion and the opening up of information should not be muzzled. And it should not be an exception to this rule, this very important rule, which is that one of the roots of the democracy that we have here in the United States, which is the ability and the opportunity for people who are versed and who know about the certain topics to be able to teach others.
All right. Ayman Shahada, my guest, professor at Columbia College, who recently the college truncated and I guess it's fair to say censored you by removing part of your class instruction because some anonymous student claims that you're biased. I mean, that is more of a bullying technique, you know, than this idea where someone would say, well, you know, as a, years ago, black students were afraid to express themselves. It sounds like, you know, that type of anonymous bullying that it still even takes place today is very disconcerting. We have a link to that petition page on our website at thearabdailynews.com, and I'll make sure that it's also available with this podcast. Ayman, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Ray, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
This has been the Arab Daily News podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.